no matter what. How many times have you used that phrase in your life, or have heard that phrase used? No matter what, I'm going to accomplish something, no matter what it takes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to enjoy this, or I'm going to see that place. One of these days, I'm going to make it to Alaska. No matter what, I'm going to make it there one of these days. No matter what, we say this phrase a lot in our life. We've used this term many times, talking about a lot of different things. We were talking, some of the young people and I, a little while back, and I was asking them, I'm going to be preaching, and tell me something that you want to hear, something that you want us to talk about. And as we were discussing and the topic came up, it started out kind of a forgiveness. But as we talked more and more about it, it was this idea of never giving up. No matter what happens, to continue loving me, encouraging me, I need this in my life. And I thought, man, how appropriate that is for all of us. How many times in our life we say something like, no matter what, things aren't going to change. No matter what happens, no matter what you do, no matter what things are thrown at us, things aren't going to change. And yet many times they do. I was recently, a little while back, formed a wedding ceremony. In the very end of a wedding ceremony, or of this one, we're talking about the vows. And one of the things that was said, this little phrase in here, said, I take you, I didn't put their names in here, but to be my wife and friend, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. And both husband and wife spoke these words to each other, and what they were saying was, no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter if one of us gets sick, no matter if someone, if we lose our wealth, no matter what happens in this life, we'll never give up on each other. We'll never quit loving each other. No matter what happens, you can guarantee, I will promise you that I will always love you. I will always be there for you. I will never forsake you. No matter what. How many times have we heard that phrase? And how many times do we not live it? How many times, because something, some exception to the clause, happens in our life, and we don't go through with it? And I look at relationships in this world, and I look at husbands and wives, and husbands tell their wives as they're getting married on that wonderful, beautiful day, and with all their friends and all their families around, and he's saying to her, I'm going to love you no matter what, I'm going to love you. Well, except when you refuse to act like I want you to act. When you refuse to dress the way I want you to dress, or be like what I want you to be. And then there are some exceptions. There are some things that might change that no matter what. I'm going to love you no matter what, except when you no longer look like what I want you to look like. I'm going to love you no matter what, except when it becomes inconvenient to love you. You know what? In all the wedding ceremonies that I've done, I've never heard those exceptions. I've never heard a husband or the groom, the one being married, tell his fiance or tell her, I'm going to love you no matter what, except, now let me pull out my notes here, unless you do one of these things, if someday you're not quite the same, you don't look quite the same as you do today, or if, I've never heard that. Maybe you have. I've never been at a wedding that was said. I've never experienced anything like that. So why do we do that? When do we start doing those things? And it's not any different. The wife says the same thing. I'm going to love you no matter what. Except when someone else shows me more attention than you do? And then it's going to change things. I'm going to love you no matter what. Except when you can't buy me the things that I really, really want in this life. I'm going to love you no matter what, except when you're no longer attractive to me either. And we start quickly after writing those exceptions down. Maybe it's because we've been hurt. Maybe it's because we're influenced by our culture and our society. Maybe we see things in this world and we see people talking about that, you know, nothing is forever. We hear people on television talking about what marriage really is all about and how a husband is supposed to be or a wife is supposed to be, and when it's in reality, it's all about us. It's what we can get out of these things. And so we start focusing on those, maybe. I don't know where it comes from. But I know that we start writing these exceptions down. Maybe it's just in the back of our mind. We don't really do it on paper. But we say this, no matter what, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to love you. Except. And we look at our relationships with our children. And I think that as I was talking with the teenagers, this is what was really coming across to me. We talk about, or we remember, maybe those of you who are parents, you can remember when your first child was born, when all of them were born, when you were in the hospital, and who was there with you? Who was out in the waiting room? Or who was in the room with you maybe right up until the time the birth was about to happen? And you can remember all those important people in your life. And I remember waiting for months for Britton to arrive. I know now he's 17, it's a long time ago. But I can remember we're in a hospital in Lubbock, Texas, and I can remember waiting on him to get there, and I can remember when he got there and I was going, wow, that's what a newborn kid looks like? And I'm thinking all of the time, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to love this child. I'm waiting for him and I'm so excited. I'm ready for him to be here. And he comes out and it's a little Martian child. Well, maybe I'm not going to love him no matter what. Doctor, is there something you can do? No, I loved him. I was so excited. And he's crying and he's screaming over there. And I remember all just very quietly saying, Britton. And he shut up. And he looked, was trying to find where that voice came from. Because I talked to him before he was born. And he knew his mother's voice. Immediately he knew hers. But I look and I think, man, what a perfect little angel. And I'm going to love him no matter what. And when Haley was born and Preston was born, and I think, man, I'm going to love them no matter what happens in this world. I'm going to love them. And we think that way about our children. And then all of a sudden we have that same little exception sometimes. We say, well, I'm going to love you no matter what, except maybe when you embarrass me. And you do something really, really stupid. And all the people around are talking about it. And it embarrasses me. And you make some really bad choices. And I go, ah. I'm going to love you no matter what. Except when you do those kinds of things, or when you refuse to allow me to shape you into who I want you to be. I've known parents, and understand, I'm looking at myself more than anyone else when I'm talking. But I know people who are trying to live through their children and who say, this is what you're going to do, and here's your time schedule. These are your accomplishments. 1, 2, 3, and we've got their whole life laid out before them, and all of a sudden they start saying, you know what, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be involved in. Those aren't the things. That's not the direction of my life. That's not where I want to go. Well, you're disappointing me. You're crushing me. You're not doing the things I want you to do. And a friend of mine, his son, was a great baseball player. And he was really talented in baseball. And his dad kept pushing him and kept pushing him until finally one of the games, I can't remember if he's in 9th grade or 10th grade, but he walked off the field, he walked up to dad, he handed him his glove and he said, I quit, I don't want to play anymore. Dad had forgotten a relationship that they had, and he gave it up because he thought his son needed to really be, do these things, and this was the only way he was going to be successful, and this is the only thing that he had going in his life, and he talked that way over and over and over. I'm going to love you no matter what, unless you don't do what I want you to do. It took him a long time to realize and to get over that. I'm going to love you no matter what, unless you're born not looking like I want you to look, or maybe you're born with a disability. How many tests are taken now with moms who are pregnant? And the doctor says, you know what, your baby's going to be born with problems. The best thing for you to do is what? Just end that now and just have another one later. But we've become a society and a culture that we're going to love, we're going to do that when it's easy, but we don't want to be put out. Parents love their children no matter what, except, and we start writing things down. And we look at our life right here in this auditorium this morning, and you look at our Christian life and our family here, and we say, I was so excited. Maybe you can remember the day that you responded to the Lord and you were immersed into Him and how excited you were when you came up out of that baptistry. Maybe you can remember that day. I can. I know where I was. That building is no longer there. It burned down. But I can remember there. I mean, we're growing up in that building and running around and playing. And I can remember that night. And I remember who did it and all my friends that were there. And I was so excited. I come out and I think, man, I love this church. I love everybody here. I am so excited to be a part of this church. About God's. So excited to be about a part of God's family. And no matter what happens, I'm always going to be excited. I'm always going to be glad that I'm a part of it. Except when someone takes me out of my comfort zone. And we decide to change services a little bit. And we put communion at the end instead of at the first. And that just doesn't sit well with me. And I'm going to tell you about it. I don't really appreciate that. Maybe I don't even want to be a part of this family anymore when you do those things. I'm excited. No matter what, I'm going to love this church. Except if those elders decide, for whatever reason, that we're going to dismiss on Sunday night, every third Sunday, and we're going to have small groups in homes. There are a lot of churches that are doing that. Boy, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that. We shouldn't be doing those things. And if those elders, if they're going to decide to do that, well, I'm telling you, I don't think I'm going to love this church. There are some exceptions that are viable, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I love this church, except when that preacher, when Chris gets up there and he starts preaching about giving, I don't want to hear that. When he starts talking and preaching about, I need to be a student of the Word and studying God's Word, and I'm supposed to be teaching my friends, and I'm hearing all these things, I don't know that I want to hear all of those things. That's kind of offensive to me. I'm going to love this church, except, you know, when someone else gets up there to speak who's not as good a speaker as Chris. Aren't we blessed with a great preacher here? Maybe I don't want to hear someone that's not as good, doesn't have the abilities that Cecil has had for so many years to lead singing, or Steve as he was this morning, or some of our other song leaders that are phenomenally gifted in leading songs and leading us before God to worship Him. They're wonderful. It's wonderful to be a part of a congregation that way. But sometimes some people aren't quite that talented, are they? And it's hard to sit through someone who doesn't have those abilities. Maybe I don't even want to be a part of that. I want to just get up and leave and walk out and say, I don't want to do that. Or maybe when someone leads us in a prayer that's not quite as eloquent as Bill is. I love when Bill leads us in prayer. Many other people, but you can tell he is a man of prayer. I like that. I love His prayers when He leads us to God. You know, I don't know what all there is, but every one of us in this room has a list of exceptions. We've all done it. Everyone has done it. If you were to stop right now and you were to look, maybe pull out your notepad for a second and start looking down your list of exceptions, what are they? What things are going to cause you to not live up to that promise? No matter what, I'm going to love my wife or my husband. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to love this church. No matter what. What are our exceptions? And I can tell you this last week, I've been looking at this. I've been looking at myself and going, man, I haven't done a good job. I haven't been the husband I should be. I haven't been the father I should be in a lot of things, a lot of ways. I haven't been there. I have failed in a lot of ways. And I'm not just saying that. I know I have. And I ask myself, what would have happened if Christ loved that way? What if Jesus would have said when He went into the garden to pray, what if He said, man, they don't even pay attention to my needs. Here I've asked them to come and to pray with me, and they can't even stay awake. They don't even care enough about me to stay awake. And I told them I'm going to love them no matter what. But you know what? That's a pretty big exception right there. They don't even care enough to pay attention to stay awake for a few minutes. And He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But not my will. Yours be done. I'm going to love them no matter what it costs me. Man, that's powerful when we start looking at our relationships and we see Jesus looking at the people that are the closest in His life and they've let Him down. They've hurt Him. And He says, I'm still going to give my life for them. I'm going to love them no matter what. Or maybe a little bit later when He's on trial and all His disciples have scattered and they've run away from Him. They've completely and totally abandoned Him. Have you ever been abandoned by someone? Have you ever been left alone by someone you thought was really special, had a really good relationship? Have they ever hurt you? Have they ever abandoned you? Sure, all of us have experienced that. Maybe we've even done that in our life. And Jesus very easily could have said that, man, they've abandoned me. Here's the exception. Here's my list. I don't have a very big list, but here's a few things. Mark 14, Peter says, or is just talking about Him. They're asking Him a third time, don't you know this man? Aren't you one of His disciples? And Mark records, he said, but He began to curse and swear, I do not know this man whom you're talking about. If anyone had a right to have an exception to the no matter what, Jesus had the right to that. But look at Romans chapter 5 for just a second with me. In Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, a passage I know that most all of us have read numerous times, but it says this, Romans 5 and 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For no one will hardly die for a righteous man, but perhaps for a good person, good man, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what, I'm going to the cross. Doesn't matter what you did. I know what you've done. That's why I'm here. Believe me, He understands all of the pain and all of the heartache that any and every one of us have ever gone through, and He still went through the cross for us. We need to learn to love like God does. We need to learn to love no matter what. We need to understand that. And we look at God, and it came when we were at our absolute greatest need, is when He gave us that love. 1 John chapter 4, the passage that Dylan just read a few moments ago, in verse 10 specifically, says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that we deserved it. Not that we loved Him. Not that He was paying us back. But when we were completely away from Him, He loved us no matter what, and sent His Son for us.
or maybe one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you and me that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make no mistake this morning. God loves you no matter what. God loves everyone in this world. Even those people in this world who have never heard of Him, He loves them no matter what. Now, I didn't say He's going to open heaven's doors and welcome everyone who's ever lived on this planet in. No matter how they live their life, no matter what they're involved in, that's not it. That's an impossibility. He can't do that. But His love is never ending. Even those people, He one day, because of His righteousness, He's going to say, depart from me. He still loves those people. His love will never cease for everyone in this world because He created us in His image. If you and I understand His love, if we understand this, no matter what kind of love of God, we couldn't do anything but reciprocate that love to all the people around us in our life. This morning, where are you? When you leave today, when you leave in just a few moments, are you going to love your wife like God loves her? Are you going to love your husband like God loves him? Are you going to love your children like God loves them? Are you going to love this church and God's family like God loves them and gave Himself up for her? Are you going to do that? Are you going to love no matter what? You know, the only people who can do that are Christians. Because only Christians have accepted that no matter what kind of love that God has for people in this world. We're the only ones who understand it. We're the only ones who've accepted it. Now, God's love, no matter what, is for everyone in this world. But we've got to accept that love. We've got to become His child. We've got to accept it on His terms. And He said, if you will name Jesus as the Lord of your life, and you will die to your old self, and you will be buried with Him, and you'll be resurrected with Him, and you'll allow Him to rule your life, you'll start grasping what it means to love no matter what. It's your choice how you live your life. It's your choice how you're going to love one another. Will you love everyone like Christ loved you, and as He loves all of us? It's your choice. You can start that walk this morning by being immersed into Him, by being clothed with Christ if you haven't done that. But maybe you have, and maybe you've taken control of your life and you said you're looking right now where you're sitting, and maybe you mentally you're taking note of all the exemptions you have to no matter what. I challenge you this morning to start recognizing those things and try to get them out of your life. It's up to you how you're going to choose to love one another in this world. How will you do that? The Lord is constantly calling us to love one another because He loved us. And He's calling us right now. And there is nothing better, no better time for us to pray with each other, for each other, than right now. If you're struggling with something, we want to do that with you this morning. We want to help you in any way that we can. We want to encourage each other. That's what a body, that's what a family is all about. If there's any reason that you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.